Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you are having a spectacular, spectacular day. What a crazy night in basketball. Ooh! In the craziest things you've ever seen. I give you last night or yesterday afternoon in the NBA. The Lakers disaster. The Celtics season. The Golden State Warriors playing through injury with Kevin Durant and finding a way to beat the Houston Rockets. And how'd you like to be the New York Knicks? Potentially your top two guys. Kyrie Irving comes in showing he's clearly not a leader. And Kevin Durant possibly coming in hobbled. If you get those two, the Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience into play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Well, listen, I think that oftentimes, we look at narratives the wrong way, or we look at stories the wrong way. In many ways, we look at the Celtics series against the Milwaukee Bucks, and it becomes a referendum on Kyrie Irving's leadership or lack thereof. That is fairly accurate. But it should be pointed out that the Milwaukee Bucks are the best record in the regular season. They have the best defense in the regular season, and they've been the best defensive team in the playoffs. And they made some adjustments after game one, and they, just disemboweled the Boston Celtics. Those weren't games where you go like, well, you know, if this one foul wasn't called. Like, I could go back in every one of these Warriors-Rockets games, and I could make the case the other team could have won. Doesn't mean that the Rockets outplayed the Warriors in game one or that the Warriors outplayed the Rockets in game four. They did not. But both teams had shots in those games. Hell, even game three, the overtime game where the Warriors lose in game three, Kevin Durant had the ball, 38 seconds to go. If he runs a 2-for-1, goes 2-for-1, or if he makes the pull-up jump shot with 16 seconds to go, he then last night ends the series. One play here, that wasn't what happened with the Celtics. So while everything today is about Kyrie, why isn't any of it about Milwaukee? Well, everything in the Philadelphia 76ers series is about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. How come it's not about Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard? And even in the Sixers series, so much of what we're paying attention to is Damian Lillard is kind of a mess compared to how he was playing previously. He's missing free throws, Damian Lillard. And Jokic is, but there are other factors, other players, other interesting parts to it. Which is how I look at the series between the Warriors and the Rockets. Maybe differently than everybody else. Here's Charles Barkley after the game. Remember, Kevin Durant got hurt. We're told it's a calf injury, a calf strain. Steve Kerr said, I'm not going to mess around with you. I'm just going to tell you, he ain't playing in game six. Here's Charles Barkley.
The Warriors ain't got no chance of winning without Kevin Durant.
This series?
This series or any other series. Kevin Durant made them unbeatable. They are not going to beat
the difference between unbeatable and can't win a series.
They're not going to beat the Rockets.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm
not going to interrupt. They're not going to beat the Rockets without KD. And they're not going to beat Portland or Denver without KD. That's how important he is. He made them a dynasty. Let's don't sleep on that. People say, well, they won one. They did. They was terrific. And they won 7-2. They lost that series. But that was like 5 years ago. People act like that was 2 years ago. They did not become a juggernaut until KD got there. Everybody who knows basketball, he's the guy who made them a dynasty. They're not going to beat the Rockets without KD.
I tend to agree. I mean, look, in reality, they're not going to beat they wouldn't beat the Rockets 4 out of 7 without KD. And I don't know if they can beat the Rockets 1 out of 2 at home, the Rockets fully healthy and the Warriors not. But let me just tell you something that you haven't heard anywhere else. I haven't heard, and in fairness, I haven't listened to a ton of sports radio shows, but I know how these things go. I don't believe anybody else has pointed this out. What does it say about the Rockets if they can't beat the Warriors and the Warriors are down 2 starters? Remember, this is you're not just down 2 starters, you're down DeMarcus Cousins, who doesn't really have a backup. Right, Andrew Bogut, and I heard Shaq on his feed talking about why isn't Andrew Bogut playing? Andrew Bogut can't play in this series. There's nobody he can guard. 0 people he can guard in this series. That would be an epic and complete disaster. It wasn't a good addition when he played in the last series. So DeMarcus Cousins has no backup. This team has a very limited bench. And you're without Kevin Durant? Can you imagine if the Rockets don't win this series? It's an indictment on the Rockets. Sure, we can celebrate the toughness of a champion and everything Steve Kerr said that we can't play for you about his guys is in fact true. There was an exceptional amount of toughness, and it does speak to the greatness of Steph Curry and to Klay Thompson if they can carry this team through injury. But they're not missing one. They're missing 2 starters on a front-loaded team. Like, think about that for a second. On a front-loaded team, you're missing 2 starters against a fully healthy Houston Rockets team that went to 7 games last year. And look, everybody talked about Chris Paul not playing, and that was fine last year. The Warriors didn't have Andre Iguodala, and they're just about the same guy. Used to be stars and now somewhat role players. Obviously, Chris Paul more in the tank, but not so much more in the tank. You can't beat the Warriors without Cousins and without KD. Right? Like, Yurebko and Livingston. Like, Sean Livingston physically can't play more than 20 minutes a game. Body won't hold up. And Yurebko, he's a 5 or 10 minute a game guy. Jordan Bell buried on the bench with dog with a bone. Quinn Cook hasn't taken off his sweats this series. Has not taken off the sweats. If the Rockets can't win this thing, it's an indictment on everything they've been trying to build for. They are fully healthy, and all they got to do is win 2 games against a depleted team. If you can't get that, I don't want to hear anything more about Houston and their analytics and this and that. You don't get a better shot, whether it's last night or the next 2 nights. Because Barkley said it, on paper, there's no way a team that starts Steph and Klay and Kevon Looney and Andre Iguodala and probably Yurebko should beat the Houston Rockets at full strength. No way. But you know what? Probably going to happen. Because whether it's pressure or matchups or belief or just Steph and Klay getting a chance to each shoot the ball 30 times and the math telling you that it's going to go in, feels like that's what happens. Oh, and then there's Chris Paul, who's a shell of his former self. He can't make a shot. Can't get by. Everybody plays him to go to his right. And he refuses to go to his left. I mean, Chris Paul's become an ultimate flop artist. Right? Like, there's 2 things that happen once you can't play. 1, you start flopping, and 2, you start fighting. And both are true with Chris Paul, and he was great. But he's also a great pick-and-roll player, and they barely run any pick-and-roll. He was 3 for 14, 0 for 6 from 3. And apparently 100% healthy. And the best thing that he did was flop last night when he ran over Draymond Green and it got Draymond Green a technical foul. Which, you know, is Draymond, classic, super smart guy, super smart player, really, really dumb play. And we're looking at this from the wrong perspective. We're looking at the Celtics, Bucks, and all we're looking at is Celtics. We're looking Sixers, Raptors, and all we're looking at is Sixers. We look at the Warriors and their win last night against the Rockets. To me, it's an indictment on the Rockets, more so than some celebration about the greatness of the Warriors.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Lakers are the combination of all things L.A., right? They're like, we're the Lakers. And the rest of the world is like, yeah, you're the Lakers. It's been 6 years now that you've been bad. You know, the Lakers who are always way, way, way too into their former players. Way, way, way too into themselves. Way, way, way too into the L.A. thing. I love Los Angeles. I love Southern California. I live here. I grew up here. It was, in fact, easy to move away. Not once, but twice. Cost of living. Quality of living. And you get to a point with these NBA players that are like, look, I'd love to live in L.A. I like living where it's warm. Going to the game when you don't have to wear a parka, that's pretty dope. But half the teams in the NBA are in warmer weather climates, maybe not like this. They also, other teams you play in warm weather climates, you don't have to fight traffic. And I can live there in the summer when I want to. That's 3 months out of the year. The rest of the year, I'm living in and out of a hotel anyway. What's the difference? What's the difference? It's not like I can live right next to the facility where the schools are good. You know, I can live pretty close. Just the whole LA thing is great. If you're already here and you benefit from the real estate going up and you make money on your real estate. But the Lakers, if you weren't paying attention yesterday, comes out that Tyronn Lue wanted the Lakers job and they thought they wanted him. They offered him a job, 3 years, somewhere in the $18 million variety. He wanted five. And they also wanted him to take not just Jason Kidd, but it's probably strong likelihood they wanted Kurt Rambis involved. Because Rambis has somehow gotten himself involved, his wife Linda, as the ear of Jeannie Buss. And so by the end of the day, Tyronn Lue was like, dude, I tried to explain this to my children this morning. They were like, wait, does Tyronn Lue have a job? I said, no. So he would rather not have a job than take the Lakers job. I said, yes. They said, wow, that must be a bad job. I said, apparently. Keep in mind that the Lakers went from a four seed in the playoffs to not making the playoffs. They had to shut LeBron down for fear of injury and embarrassment. They had to fire Luke Walton. This after Magic Johnson summarily resigned with no pressure to do so, just in bizarre fashion. And then Monty Williams, who was rumored to be one of the favorites for the job, apparently turned down the job to take the Suns job, which is seen as an awful job, not because of talent, but because of who you work for in Robert Sarver. The idea that the Lakers job is worse than the Suns job is alarming to anybody. And I'd like to put some of it on LeBron and on optics of hiring a LeBron guy, and I think reality is true, but is there ever more LA thing to say it's LA's team than the Lakers? Again, I like Southern California. I live in a great place. Where I live, which is close to the beach, it's overcast every day. They call it May gray. So up until about 11:30, 12 o'clock, it's overcast. And then it burns off and it's sunny and it's like 65 to 70 degrees, which if you're in 30 degree weather in the middle of January, that's great. But right now, most parts of the country, it's spring and it's beautiful. And it costs an eighth as much or a fifth as much or a third as much to live here. And yeah, it's sunny, but I have to drive through traffic every day. And yeah, I make money on my house, but I also give up some of that money in the taxes that I pay. And yeah, the LA thing is really cool. Staples is cool. They're not the only one who plays at Staples. And you can live in L.A. when you're in the NBA and not play in L.A. So I think the L.A. thing is much like the Lakers thing. You sell it as the greatest thing, the entertainment capital of the world. Like, You can make records in your basement. You can make movies anywhere. And when not one but two head coaches turned down the Lakers, one to take the Suns' job, the other one to take no job, and you're left with no smart answers for the problem of how do we put a great coaching staff and a better team around LeBron James? And we're halfway to June? Oy. The Lakers are LA's team. Right? They're, if you drive down the freeway, I remember I was in, remember we broadcast shows from Israel, guys? And I said this about Israel at the time, and I probably sound like the worst form of an LA guy, where I was like, man, there are no nice cars, there are zero nice cars in Israel. Like I was there for a month. I never saw a car. I was like, I would drive that car. That's a beautiful car. You know, they have Mercedes-Benz cabs, but you hop into them and they're not like Mercedes-Benz here. You drive down the street in LA and you're like, man, Tesla, Jag, Fisker, Rolls-Royce, Mercedes-Benz, Range Rover. Now, these people may live in apartments. They may live out in the 909 where it takes forever to get to work and there's, you know, smog on bad days. But they got a nice car. That's what LA is. It's all, it can be all show and no substance. Because if there was substance there, Monty Williams or Ty Lue would be the coach. But instead, it's just becoming about just another job and not a good one. And because there's dysfunction in the front office, it's seen as a high level of toxicity. And yeah, the LeBron thing probably freaks some dudes out.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
What Kyrie Irving is saying, the aloofness by which he handles himself, the really, really weird press conferences, the kind of shutting down emotionally, like, that's classic LeBron James. That's what he did against the Dallas Mavericks. Where just all of a sudden, he might have said he was still in it. I don't know if you guys remember, when they played the Dallas Mavericks and he had that terrible NBA Finals, right? Remember, they won on the road and then they made fun of Dirk Nowitzki after shoot-around because Dirk was sick. You guys remember that? They were feeling really good about themselves, super confident. And then all of a sudden, that confidence just evaporated, eviscerated. That's what happened to the Boston Celtics. Game one, they're like feeling great. Game two, like, ah, we stole game. We stole home court. We're good. And then it just got weird, right? Yesterday, they asked him about his future. And he's like, I'm just focused on getting home safely. Like, what? I don't like the pass or next question, but I would prefer next question as opposed to, I'm just thinking about getting home safely. Like, are people out to get you? Are you really concerned about this sort of thing? Like, is this a 737 MAX thing? Like, what are you talking about? We just asked you about your future and your kind of process. Right? Like, we can all of these questions can be, when he was asked about the 22 shots, he simply could have said, like, I don't think of, this is not hard. I don't think number of shots matter. Quality of shots matter. I got to take better shots. We all got to take better shots. Got to execute better. It's a really good team. And we got to limit their quality shots. These are all easy answers. But he made the answers so much harder than they needed to be. But that's what LeBron does. He holds court and he says one thing and then he contradicts himself 2 weeks later. That's what LeBron does. And of course, just like I did with my dad, you've done probably with your parents, he picked up the phone and was like, you were right. You were right. So I think Kyrie in many ways has become the walking embodiment of LeBron James. And the difference is LeBron's been able to get away with it because he's LeBron. His brand is better. He's won a title. He's won a couple of titles. He's bigger and stronger, so he can get away with just playing bully ball. But you mix LeBron's inability to be normal and to relate to human being with Kobe Bryant's, like, this is, by the way, That was Kobe Bryant's mama mentality. Like, Kobe Bryant's answer to every problem was shoot the basketball. Right? Kobe Bryant, for people, and look, this is not defaming Kobe Bryant. We all know it to be true. I love how Twitter and NBA world's like, Kobe was the clutchest ever. He was amazing. Can somebody tell me what the when was the Kobe moment in the NBA Finals? Let me know. Like, the most famous play that Kobe made was in the Western Conference Finals. He threw the alley-oop to Shaq, right? On that incredible comeback against the Portland Trailblazers. You guys remember that? That's a famous play. But Kobe wasn't, the first three times they won, he wasn't the Finals MVP. Against the Celtics, like, he was awful in Game 7. Awful. Selfish. I mean, he was, Ron Artest won that game. It was one of those, like, yeah, we'll give him the MVP, whatever. Kobe Bryant's answer to everything was shoot, much like, did you ever do this in college where you take like a Scantron test, you know? And if you didn't know the answer, what were you always supposed to answer? C. Right? You know, you A, B, C, or D, you always went with C. I don't know why, but most people have said you go with C. Maybe it's because it's C's for degrees. I don't know. But everybody said you go with C. Kobe Bryant was at, like, what's 2 plus 4? 2 plus 2, shoot. What is the square root of pi times 8? Shoot. What do you do when you're down 5 and shoot? And that's what Kyrie Irving did. Like, the two most influential people in his basketball career, Kobe Bryant and LeBron James, and he embodied the bad habits and bad qualities of both of them last night. I'm going to shoot as often and be as aloof on the court as Kobe was. And then I'm going to have this weird, really weird approach to answering fairly earnest, average questions after it. And then walk away like, they're the weird ones, not me. No, you're pretty much the weird one. That was just, the whole thing was odd.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Rip Hamilton is an NCAA champion, an NBA champion, and he joins us today to talk about his work this season with Intel True VR and the NBA on TNT VR, taking fans courtside from anywhere. Rip, we'll get to the virtual reality stuff, which you guys are doing, which is amazing, in a second. But let's start with the Celtics. Is it as simple as Kyrie Irving isn't a leader?
I think they got a lot going on over there in Boston. But I think that this summer is going to start and end with him. I thought that, one, all year long, it just seems like they've been on a roller coaster ride. Guys still trying to understand their role. You know, you got the younger guys that are ready for stardom. You got Gordon Hayward trying to come back off an injury and still be initiating into the offense. Brad Stevens rushing his process and putting him in the starting lineup when I thought that, hey, you know what, maybe wait a little bit because you got young guys that can fit that role and play big right now. So that's all challenging when you're looking at from a locker room perspective. Because nowadays, when you look at the game, you look at the league, it's different than when I played. Like, the veteran players were the guys that usually were the stars, and they were, what, 27, 28, you know what I mean? Some were 30. Like, you don't really hit your prime until you were 29, 30 years old. Now the stars in our game are 22, 23. So, and when you're looking at the Boston Celtics, with the success that they had last year with Rozier and Tatum and Brown, them guys are ready. Like, they're ready for stardom. So it's hard to, you know, hold them back when knowing that you got Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward about to be added to the team at full strength next season.
Okay, so, I mean, do we assume, based upon how things are going, that there's – I mean, Kyrie picked the microphone before the season. Like, man, if you guys will have me, I'm coming back. That appears to be the opposite. Any chance he returns?
Yes, I do think there's a chance. And the reason why I think, Doug, is in order for Boston Celtics to win a championship or any championship team, you need a closer, right? And Kyrie's probably arguably top five closer in our game right now, right?
Yeah,
so I do think they need Kyrie Irving. But the question mark is, can Kyrie Irving be your best player on your team, right? When Cleveland, he had the luxury of playing with LeBron. Like when Kyrie would, you know, when LeBron needed to settle him down, LeBron would play the point guard position, right? And move him off the ball and allow him to just score, right? In Boston, they didn't have that, right? Like Kyrie is now the elder statesman on that team. Like everybody's looked at him. Like nobody's going to pull him to the side and be like, hey, all right, you know what, run this or run that. So I think it was growing pains for him being in that situation. And he talked about it, too, with the call that he made to LeBron James early in the season. So I just think that this year was a big-time learning situation. And in order to win a championship, you got to go through your bumps. You got to go through your speed bumps. Like, no one just automatically just wins it just because. So it's always a possibility. I mean, Brad Stevens, I still believe he's one of the better coaches in our league. But I think it's going to take, you know, from time and from a chemistry standpoint that the guys on the floor, they got to trust each other. And right, it showed all season long that they didn't really trust each other.
I'd agree with you on just about every point. I'd love to find holes to pick in your argument, but I can't. I felt like it wasn't a good fit for him as a coach, and the pieces didn't fit together. And yeah, I think you're saying he's screwing up his process. I think that was accurate. They went for it. I think most people would have gone for it if they were in that position, but you do, you know, teams win champion. As much as we come to think the NBA is like fantasy sports, like whoever has the best players wins, but that's just not the case. Just not.
Yeah, it's never the case because, like you say, individuals don't win championships, right? Like my team in Detroit, right? Everybody always say, oh, you guys didn't have no superstars. You got all this and that. And I say to myself, Rasheed Wallace was a problem. like a good problem. Like Rasheed Wallace was probably the most talented player that I played with in my career, right? So we had guys on our team that could easily, you know, been fighting for MVP every year, right? But if we did that, then we wouldn't be able to put our team in position to win a world championship because everybody wouldn't be involved. You look at the Golden State Warriors. The reason why they're great, yeah, they got great talent, but that ball pop. Like, everybody gets to touch it. Everybody gets to feel it. Everybody has a role. Everybody understands each other. Everybody knows what each other likes and dislikes. Like, when me and Chauncey played together, Chauncey knew where I was at on the floor every time down the floor. I knew where he was going to be. I knew where Tayshaun was going to be. So chemistry and playing together and understanding each other and sharing the ball and willing to sacrifice, you know, your game, your brand, because that's the big thing in the NBA, your brand, right? So you're willing to sacrifice all that for one thing, and that's a championship, and that's what it should be about anyway.
Did you think KD popped his Achilles when you were watching last night?
Say it again, I couldn't hear you.
Did you think KD popped his Achilles when you were watching last night?
You know what? It scared me, right? And it was, you know, because any time when a guy shoots, right, and he kind of looks back, like somebody kicked him or like somebody stepped on their foot or whatever, that's the first thing that comes to mind when you talk to people that tore their Achilles. Like, oh, somebody kicked me in the back of my foot, right? I popped my plantar fasciitis. Similar reaction. Oh, somebody kicked me in the back of my foot. What happened? First thing I thought was Achilles because I heard so many stories about it. But it was my plantar fasciitis. Now they're reporting what is a calf, right?
Yep.
So yes, I'm scared. I don't know if they're giving us all the information, but the way it looked a lot more serious than what they're reporting.
If everyone's looking at this from a Golden State, can they still win without him? I'm looking at it from Houston. Like, they don't have DeMarcus Cousins, and they don't have Kevin Durant. And I'd get that last night it wasn't like it was an even game when he went out. And the energy of the building, whatever. Isn't an indictment on Houston if they can't win this series, considering what Golden State doesn't have and the construct of that team?
Absolutely, Doug. Right? Like, everybody talks about, oh, the Golden State's can it? No, we got to start talking about Houston here because they got the pressure on them. How about James Harden and Chris Paul? Like, they got the pressure on them, right? So people are always looking to say, oh, you know, can Steph Curry, can Klay Thompson, could Draymond, can they get, first of all, Steph Curry's a two-time MVP, right? So he, when Kevin Durant came there, Steph Curry was willing to take a back seat for who? Kevin Durant, right? Kind of similar to what the Wayne Wade did in Miami when LeBron James came there, right? Took a back seat, allow, you know, LeBron to kind of take over, you know, ownership of that team. Steph Curry still got higher levels he could still achieve with no KD out there. So it might be limited. You know, KD, Steph Curry might go out there, might only shoot 10, 15 shots a game. No KD, he might shoot 30, right? And him and Klay Thompson is arguably the best two shooters in the game. So they could still get hot. So their chances are still the same. But the pressure for James Harden and Chris Paul, you know, and the team they have over there in Houston is, man, they got a lot of pressure on their shoulders to come out and win these next two games if Kevin Durant doesn't play.
It did feel like, and as much as, like, you know, Harden had a little bit of a disappearing act, part of it was that Golden State changed how they're playing defensively because they had Looney in the game. Now they had some rim protection. Is that fair that they, you know, they basically guarded him with two as opposed to many other points in the series? They've been guarding him with just one guy.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what the playoffs is about. It's a game of adjustment, right? You can't show the guy, you can't show the team the same thing every time because teams are too good. James Harden is way too talented, you know, he'd be able to dissect and figure out different ways that the teams guard. So you have to constantly switch up the strategy on trying to defend him, you know, making him think. I think that's the key. Me as a scorer playing in the NBA, you know, when teams will switch it up, now I got to think. Now I can't just react because I got to think a little bit to see how they're playing me so certain shots wouldn't be there every time down the floor. So it's the same thing with James Harden. It's a chess game.
Rip Hamilton joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so you're doing this VR stuff, the virtual reality stuff. For people who haven't seen it, what's it like?
It's actually pretty cool, man. Like, Intel Sports brings fans closer to the game, right? And you're kind of like watching the game, and well, you are watching the game in virtual reality. And I always say that, like it kind of brings you in to the arena from watching it from the goggles, the Oculus goggles. And they also have a Samsung device. You're kind of watching the game through that. And it kind of gives you the feel like you're sitting in that front row seat on the court. And I was a kid that couldn't afford at the time. My mom and dad couldn't afford a floor seat. But I wish something like this was out because it kind of gives you that experience that you're in the game. And you can watch it from different camera angles. Like we all go to the game and say, all right, I wonder how the view is over there on the floor seats behind the basket. Oh, I wonder how does it feel to watch the game from center court? So now with all the different camera angles, it allows the viewer to really have control of their experience when watching the game.
Let me ask you about the Lakers. What do you do now?
Oh, my goodness. Ain't that the question? That's the question of the day, right? Right? I mean, when you look at the Lakers, man, the one thing about it, you still have the best player in basketball, right? You still got LeBron James, right? And LeBron James has been able to take teams that really didn't have a whole lot of talent all the way to the NBA Finals. Yeah, he's a little older, you know, but people forget that, hey, before that he got hurt early this season, we were talking about LeBron James maybe being MVP and maybe the Lakers being the top three seed. Now, I just think that right now is they got way too many hands in the cookie jar, right? And they're not all on the same page from a management standpoint. I mean, how do you let Magic Johnson just walk away? Like Magic Johnson's all-time great. Like, like that's the reason why LeBron James came there. Tyronn Lue, like, how do you not give him a five-year deal when you just gave Luke Walton a five-year deal? Monty Williams just got a five-year deal going to Phoenix Sun. Like, Ty Lue coached LeBron James. Ty Lue got a world championship. So it's a lot of question marks going on in La La Land right now.
But how do you fix it? Who can you hire that can stabilize things?
Well, that's the big question right now. I think that maybe they might have to go get a veteran coach. I mean, you still hear Jason Kidd's name in the mix. You hear Coach Woodson's name in the mix. Guys that have NBA experience, guys that know players, right? Because when you're coaching a LeBron James team, you got to have a great relationship with LeBron James, and he has to respect you, right? I think that's the biggest key. And you got to be able to have that constant communication with your star player, right? So I think whoever brings into that job LeBron James has to respect, right? And the guys in the locker room. I do think they need to go out and get another big-time free agent, right? LeBron James can't do it on his own. I think his usage rate is out the roof with his time on the court and how much the ball is in his hands. Like, LeBron James just doesn't come on the court and just sits in the corner for 2-3 possessions down the floor trying to get rest. Like, that's not how he plays. So I do believe that they got to go out and get a star free agent. If it's, you know, Kawhi Leonard, if it's Jimmy Butler, maybe Kemba Walker, you hear Kyrie Irving's name in the mix. He needs another guy that has that it factor that can carry the team for quarters where he can kind of get a rest because he's getting up there in age.
Yep. No, I agree. And then the question becomes, what can he give you defensively for the season? He used to be the ultimate eraser. Now you kind of got to hide him, and it's a crazy deal. Listen, this VR thing is awesome. More importantly, your commentary is on point. Thanks so much for joining us, Rip.
Appreciate it, Doug. Good talking to you.
Pleasure's mine. Rip Hamilton, great dude, excellent analyst, and our thanks to the folks at NBA and TNT VR for allowing him to come on with us.